Well, this morning we're going to continue looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And so I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. In our last lesson, we talked about how Jesus taught those who were hearing him here in this great sermon to not to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those who did things to be seen of men. And we saw that they, in three areas that Jesus discussed, there was the area of giving, there was the area of prayer, and there was the area of fasting, that those around him in the religious world did those things to be seen of men. Well, in the midst of this discussion, Jesus offers a model prayer, and that is found in verses 9 through 13. And so we're going to discuss that section of the Sermon on the Mount this morning. It is sort of an aside, if you will. It's placed into this text so that there will be some positive teaching on prayer. But we note that it is, in a way, different in its content from the other three sections. And so that's why we decided to go ahead and make a separate lesson out of that. And this model prayer has been called upon by many and quoted in times of trial and difficulty to prove comfort to those who have learned it and who have understood it. And so I thought we would spend some time this morning thinking about what Jesus says here. Let's just read this model prayer together, and then we will discuss the contents of it. Verse 9, "In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, verses 14 and 15, Jesus explains a little bit about part of the prayer in reference to forgiveness. And he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so that is an explanatory note, if you will, to the part of the prayer where he says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So let's think about the Lord's Prayer for just a moment, the Lord's model prayer, and consider some of the things that are found within it. There are really four sections to this model prayer, this example prayer. Jesus gives this prayer as an example of what we should pray. I don't know that Jesus ever says in the accounts of the gospel, "Pray this prayer verbatim." I don't think he's ever said that. But he did say, "In this manner, therefore, pray." That is, after this example, or in this way. And so it's given as an example, and we could certainly pray this prayer, at least most aspects of it, and it would be perfectly fine. But there are a couple of things that, since Jesus died on the cross, have changed, and we need to adjust a few things in reference to that. But this morning, as we think about this, there's four sections. First of all, there is the first part where Jesus ascribes to God glory and honor. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And then the second section we see acknowledges God's supremacy. And so, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In the third section, we see that Jesus tells us, teaches us to ask for our daily needs, the things that we have need of on a daily basis. And he says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In the last section, we find acknowledgement of God's, or acceptance of God's power and ability then to answer our prayers. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So let's think about those four sections this morning. First of all, the Lord's model prayer teaches us to ascribe or give to God great honor, praise, and glory. And it says here, we are to address in our prayers God as our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We pray to God the Father because he is the creator, the sustainer, the provider, and the protector. He is our Father in those senses, but he is our Father who is in heaven, not our earthly Father, but our heavenly Father who provides for us on a daily basis. We are speaking words of honor and glory when we say, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed means holy. It means to revere. It means to honor. It means to glorify. And God's name is to be honored and glorified. It is not to be taken in vain, not to be used in an empty way, but in a way that gives praise to God. His name is holy. That means that his name is set apart. It is not to be used in a common way, as so many people use the name of God today in such a flippant and disrespectful manner. God's name is holy because God is holy. In Leviticus 19 and verse 2, we read, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God is holy. What does that mean? It means he is set apart. He is sanctified. He is separate from the common and the mundane and the elemental things of this world. And we are to acknowledge God's holiness when we pray, because we are elevating ourselves and lifting ourselves up in prayer to God. I appreciate it so much when our men talk about gathering around the throne of God when we initiate prayer, because we are doing just that, bringing ourselves before the Holy One of the universe to address him in an honorable and praiseworthy way. And God is certainly worthy of praise. Listen to David's words in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13, where it says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. You may recognize some of the elements of David's prayer there are reflected in this model prayer that Jesus tells us to emulate. In Isaiah 12 and verses 4 through 6, Isaiah prophesies of the day in which God's people will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. God is great. And when we address him in prayer, we need to do so with praise, honor, respect, and worship. We worship God the Father, and therefore we pray unto him. But then secondly, we see Jesus acknowledges God's supremacy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' day, his prayer was, your kingdom come. But the kingdom has since come. When Jesus died on the cross, there he shed his blood for the sins of mankind and opened the way in which we may approach God the Father directly as his child. And so now the kingdom is here, as we discussed in our Bible class this morning, that Jesus prophesied in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1 that there were some who were standing by who would not taste of death until they saw the kingdom come with power. And that kingdom came with power when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in Acts chapter 2. And so the kingdom has come. We do not pray for the coming kingdom anymore, but we can pray and we may pray for the prosperity of the kingdom, which is the church. And we certainly want to pray that the church does well in this earth. And so we pray that the kingdom prosper and that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we think about God's supremacy, we think about his will being done. We think about his kingdom prospering. We think about him and all the great things that he does for us. When we think about salvation, for example, we remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We remember that after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 through 7. We think about how God provided the plan through which man could be saved. And that plan is the gospel, according to Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, where Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is God's power of salvation. We think about how God gave us the Bible, his word, so that we can have his will revealed to us directly in the written pages that we have before us. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23 says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so we have revealed to us in the pages of Scripture today, the very will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And how can we assure that that will be done on earth as it is in heaven? By reading and studying and carrying out God's holy will as it is revealed in the Scripture. And if we do not do that, then we cannot pray this prayer. We cannot say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if we are not willing to do what the Lord tells us to do in his holy word. Because this is the very will of God. We acknowledge our desire then that God's will would prevail in our life. Jesus prayed, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." James tells us in James 4 and verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. All of our life should be concerned about following, living, practicing, and carrying out the will of God within our life. Do we mean it when we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Let us then acknowledge God's great ability to command and lead and guide our lives. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Third, Jesus tells us to ask for our daily needs. And we have daily needs, both physical and spiritual. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Think about what we are to ask for here. First of all, we ask because God wants us to ask. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and he that knocks, the door will be opened. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. And John says in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired from him. And so God wants us to ask in faith, with confidence. God loves us, and he wants to give us good things. He wants to provide for us that daily bread. He wants to give us his forgiveness. He wants to help us not to be led into temptation. We must ask for these things. Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11 tells us that God cares about us. Jesus says there, what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Yes, God wants to give us good things. So let's ask. And we know that when we ask, that God will provide. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and verse 19. Did you hear that? He will supply all your need. Whatever that might be, he will supply it. God answers the prayers of his children. And in regard to our spiritual needs, he forgives us of all of our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. And he makes things helpful for us by giving us a great way of escape. Deliver us from the evil one, we pray. Do not lead us into temptation, we pray. Paul writes, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And so when we ask, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, God answers those prayers. And finally, when we think about the Lord's model prayer, we are exhorted to accept the great blessings that God has given us. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God is in control. And for that, we are thankful. We see so many things in this world of a nature that cause us to question so many things. So much evil occurs. So many horrible things happen in the news on a daily basis. But God is in control. He has a plan, and He is working that plan, and we are part of that plan, and we need to get with His plan. If we do not want to see such evil things in the world around us, then let's take this message of good to those who are around us in the world. Let's combat the evil that we see with the good that we find in the Holy Scriptures. Let's take that holy and good will of God and apply it to those around us. Let's not just sit back and bemoan these unfortunate circumstances. Let's do something about it. And we can do something about it by carrying the gospel message to others. We are thankful that God is in control. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. When we come before God to worship Him, we are to express that great thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 100 and verse 4. And Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of lips, giving thanks to His name. We acknowledge and accept that God is in control, and we are thankful for the things that He has given us and for what He has done for us each and every day. For thine, or yours, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This model prayer that Jesus gives us is something to reflect upon in many circumstances. And it is a good thing for us to think about each and every day. We want to remember that we are to ascribe to God all honor, glory, and praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That we are to acknowledge God's supremacy in everything that we do. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we are to ask for the things that we have need, both physical and spiritual. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we are to accept the great blessings that God has given and the power that He has over this earth. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Maybe this morning you need to enter into a relationship where you can pray to God the Father as His child. We talked about His will being done on earth as it is in heaven, and this is His holy will. To become His child according to His holy will, one must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He must then repent of his sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We pray that God's will be done. If you have that same prayer within your life, but you are not a child of God, then you can do something about that this morning by following his holy will and decrease the amount of evil that's in this world and increase the amount of good while you're at it by living for him each and every day. Maybe you would like to become a child of God this morning, or maybe you would like the prayers of the church for whatever need you may have. We're ready to help you. Whatever your need may be, you can come make it known. While together we stand and while we sing.